when I'm done, it'll be done to you.
We're up to the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. And this commandment is just one verse. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. One of the shorter commandments. And it's a commandment I think everybody figures they know everything it means. You know, it means not to use God's name as a curse word, not to use it lightly, all this. And that's all true, but I think there's more to it than that. And tonight as we look at it, we'll look at it in that sense, into finding out what it all really means. What is it to take the name of the Lord in vain? And first, taking the Lord's name in vain is the opposite of hallowing God's name. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray in this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the Greek word for hallow, hagiazo, it's the same word that means to sanctify or to separate or to set apart. And I've used this illustration before. If I had some shoes that I wore only on Sunday, I'd be setting apart those shoes for that special day and for that purpose. Maybe I only wear them to church on Sunday. I can say I'm sanctifying those shoes. And if I hallow the name of God, I'm setting it apart, just like I set those shoes apart from other shoes, I would be setting the name of God apart from every other name. It would be separate from every other name. The Hebrew word, kadash, also means the same thing, to consecrate, to sanctify, to prepare, to dedicate, to be hallowed, to be holy, to be sanctified, to be separate. God himself says in Ezekiel 36:20, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before your eyes. In Ezekiel 36:23, the word sanctify and hallowed are both translation of that same Hebrew word, kadash. Sanctifying or hallowing something is the opposite of profaning something. People profane the name of the Lord when they use it as a curse word, just as I already said. This is true whether they do it with malice in their heart, if they're intentionally using the Lord's name that way, because they hate the Lord and they're really against the Lord. And so they say something like God and then whatever they say after it. But even if there's no hatred in their heart for God and they're just a pagan who says it because it's the easiest thing to say and they think they're not really dishonoring God because they don't even believe in God or think of God, they're still taking the name of the Lord in vain. Just because they think that lightly of the Lord, to think that they could use his name so carelessly. How do we hallow God's name? We hallow God's name when we treat it as special and treasure and value any connection we have to it. We treat it as above other names. We see this wording is used for Christ's name in the New Testament, in Philippians. Paul writes in chapter 2, starting with verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Notice he says that Jesus would have a name that is above every other name. That's the same thing that is said about the Father when he says, hallowed be thy name. It means that we would separate it and we would count it higher and above any other name. God's name and Christ's name being above every other name means that God and Christ deserve honor and worship above others. We count them more important than even the most important people in our lives. That's why Jesus says to his disciples and actually to the multitude that was following him in Luke 14, verse 25 through 27, it says, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Your father's name, your mother's name, your wife's name, your children's names, your brothers and sisters' names, aren't they all important to you? These are people you care for. Your friends' names. I remember being younger, and I've seen other people do it, especially like teenagers. One teenager maybe have a crush on another teenager, and either the boy or the girl, they start writing the other person's name. They're in the class, and they write that person's name over and over and over and over again. And maybe the girl writes her own name as Mrs. Whoever, that boy's last name. Or the boy puts the girl's name with his last name, and they think that way, and when we're in love, that name becomes above every other name. We think of it all the time. And that's what is talked about here. Jesus' name needs to be above every other name. We think of him constantly. His name is special to us because he's special to us. And that's why it says, hate not your father or mother or wife or children or brethren. It's not saying literally we need to start slapping our relatives around and treating them badly. What it's talking about is that we would love Jesus more than we would love any of those. And that he would have that name in our esteem that would be higher than all of those. Or he says we're not worthy of him. He says we need to have him in that highest place where we are honoring his name. And if we don't do that, we are taking his name in vain. That's a whole lot different than just using it as a curse word. That touches us closer to where we live. We take God's name in vain when we claim to be Israel or Christian and do not live accordingly. It says first in 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now, do we do that? Do we walk just as Jesus did? We probably fall short of that. But if we claim that we are Christians, we should walk like he did. That's the goal. That's the thing we have in the New International Version. I like the New International Version for this verse. It says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. If you're saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, then you're not honoring his name unless you live like he lived. The priests in the Old Testament were given special rules regarding not touching dead bodies, and they had other rules that they had just because they were priests of God. They were his priests. And so it says in Leviticus 21, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, and his brother, also his virgin sister who is near to him, who has had no husband, For her he may defile himself. What basically what they're saying is the priests shouldn't be touching dead bodies. You know, somebody has to touch the dead body when you're going to bury the dead body or do whatever needs to be done with the dead body. But God is saying, don't let my priests do that unless it's their close family member. And then he says, otherwise he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make any bald place on their heads, nor shall they shave the edges of their beards, nor take any cutting of the flesh. Now, I don't think this applies to us. I hope not in any way. I've shaved all my beards. But this was something they had to do because God wanted them to separate themselves from others. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. For they offer offerings to the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor should they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. So this person had to be set aside in ways that were different. Priests were also to be careful about their offerings. It says, speak to Aaron and his sons in Leviticus 22:2, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they do not profane my holy name by what they dedicate to me. I am the Lord. Now, this is talking about when they did defile themselves. They weren't, you know, there were times that they could not help but do something wrong. They make some, you know, maybe they bumped a dead body accidentally. Then they had to take some time and not offer up the offering. They had to separate themselves from it. But not only the priests, ordinary Israelites would profane God's name in various ways, offering their children to Molech. Now, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? What they would do is they'd offer their children to this false god, meaning they'd send their children into this fire to die. Well, that's definitely profaning the name of God. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. That would be a definite profaning the name of God. He says in Leviticus 20, verse 3, he says, I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. That would be definitely going against the name of the Lord, taking it in vain. By swearing falsely, using God's name to protect a lie. This is obvious too, isn't it? And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God, for I am the Lord, Leviticus 19:12. Now, they were allowed to make oaths and special promises, saying, in the Lord's name I will do this or this, but they better do it. Or just like we have in court, we put our hand on their Bible and we say, this is true, but if we are lying, we're taking the name of the Lord in vain. And that's what they would be doing then, claiming that what they were saying was true and claiming it on the Lord's name. And God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Stealing would profane God's name. Proverbs 30, verse 9 says, or lest they be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. If I'm a Israelite and I happen to be poor, am I trusting God to provide for my needs, or do I need to go out and sneak and steal something from my neighbor? Well, if I steal something from my neighbor because I have a need, I'm not trusting in God. I'm profaning his name and saying he's not providing for me. I have to break his laws. Those who pretend to serve God but serve idols as well profane his name. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go serve every one of you his idols, and hereafter, if you will not obey me, but profane my name no more with your gifts and your idols. What he's saying there in Ezekiel 20, verse 39, they were worshiping idols. But then they would also come back to God and they would worship Him as well. And He's telling them, if you're going to go worship those idols, just go and worship the idols. Don't bother and pretend that you're serving me, that you're going to honor my name, because you're not honoring my name when you're serving idols. Any breaking of the law by those who profess to know God would blaspheme or profane God's name. Romans 2, 23 and 24 says, you who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. The name of God is blasphemed. Here, you know, in chapter 1 of Romans, Paul had talked about the Gentiles, how they had bowed down to these false gods and all these things. Then in chapter 2, he talks to the Jews. And they had the law of God. And they had every advantage over the Gentiles who did not have that law. But it was only an advantage if they actually kept the law. But they didn't. They broke it. And even though they were given that honorable name, Israel, they messed up. They profaned the name of the Lord by breaking any of the commandments. And when you think of it, there's a sense that we've all, if we've claimed the Lord's name, we've all broken those things. Deuteronomy 28:58 says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Well, if you don't keep them all, you're not fearing, you're not honoring the glorious name of God. If you break one of the commandments, you're missing the mark. You're not honoring God's name. Some may have seemed to honor Christ's name with their works, and yet they were far from Him because they were not obedient to God's will. Jesus speaks of this. Matthew 7, starting with verse 21, He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I did this in your name. Lord, I did that. I was doing all these great things. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I think there's a lot of pastors and ministers and church people who will say, we did this in your name, we did that in your name, and yet the things they were doing, maybe they attracted great crowds, maybe they thought they were accomplishing great things, but they weren't doing the will of the Lord, and they were dishonoring His name. The things they were said they were doing in His name were not what God commanded in His name. They were practicing lawlessness. And Jesus says, I never knew you. He goes on and He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and its fall was great. Those who hear Jesus' sayings, His preaching, this is right after the Sermon on the Mount, and do them, those are the ones who build their house on the rock. Those who ignore those sayings, maybe they think they're doing the will of God, but they're really doing their own thing for the glory of Christ. In His name, we're casting out demons, we're doing many mighty works, we're doing this, we're doing that. But they're really not following Him. They're the ones that build their house on the sand. We honor Christ's name when instead of practicing lawlessness, we hear His sayings and we do them. Third, We who take God's name as our own should consider it a great privilege and responsibility. We only honor His name with faith in Jesus. Let God's name encourage your prayers and move you toward God and His glory. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul is about to pray for the Ephesians. And he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." There's that name again. The whole family in heaven, I believe, all the angels that are good angels and on earth, are us who are true believers. Our family is named after God. And he goes on and he prays all these things for the Spirit to come, for them to know the love of Christ, to them to be filled with all the fullness of God. And he comes to the end of the prayer in verse 20, and he says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." How do we honor Christ's name? How do we honor God's name? How do we avoid, especially when we are sinners, taking the name of the Lord in vain? Well, one of the ways we do that is by having faith in Christ and trusting in Him rather than trusting in ourselves. We pray, or I pray, I hope all you pray, and I know you do. When you pray, you don't pray. I know Mark does, and I'll use you as an example. "In Mark's name I pray." That just doesn't cut it. I mean, Mark's a great guy compared to all of us, but it won't work. We pray in Jesus' name. We trust in Jesus' name. We trust in His righteousness and what He's done, and that's the only righteousness that is worthy of God's name. None of us are like that. Thomas Watson said, "We take God's name in vain when we pray to Him but do not believe in Him." Meaning, even when we pray, if we don't have a prayer of faith, trusting that God will answer this prayer because of what Jesus did, and we prayed in Jesus' name, and that He will really save me because of what Jesus did, we are taking the name of the Lord in vain. When we say, "I'm a Christian," but we're not really believing that God will answer it, answer the prayer. 1 John 5:9-10 says, "He who believes in the Son of God has this witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." We have, and this is why, you know, all this about the law and keeping all the law, do any of us do that? Do we keep it perfectly? Can we say, "I've honored God's name, I've never profaned God's name, I'm a Christian, and it shows in everything I do"? No. We have to say, "I'm a Christian because I trust in Christ. He did everything God wanted, and I just believe that what He did and His death on the cross, it covers my sins, and I honor His name by admitting that I'm a sinner, that I fall short of God's glory, and I'm trusting in Christ alone and what He did to save me." Now, with this, we honor God by forgiveness and grace. If we are saved by grace, if we are saved by faith, if we're saved by trusting in Christ's name and not our own, and we know that we are sinners, then how do we treat others? This is the answer. Colossians 3:12-14, it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Notice there's a lot less required in those verses than some of what we see in the Old Testament. when it says if you've got to keep all the law. And if you're not keeping every bit of it, you're profaning my name. Well, this admits that we're not. When you look at it closely, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, why do we need to forgive each other? Well, because Christ forgave us. But what's the other reason? It's because we sin against each other. We have to forgive each other because we sin against each other. And the second reason is because Christ forgave us, we have to forgive each other. As Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And so we honor His name, not by being perfectly sinless, because we know we're not, but we honor His name by forgiving others as we've been forgiven by Him. That's why it's such a strong commandment in this verse about forgiveness. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If you don't forgive in the same way that Christ forgave you, and how much did Christ forgive us? He forgave everything. And it's the new requirement. We can't keep all the law. We've all sinned. We all fall short of it. But we trusted in Christ because He died on the cross and He forgave us and He's paid for all the penalty of our sin. And so how do we live up to that meaning? We also forgive others. And so we take the name of the Lord in vain when we say, hey, I'm forgiven by Christ. But then somebody asks us for forgiveness and we don't want anything to do with it. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's avoiding, you know, the Lord has forgiven us. We are calling, we're saying we're Christians, we're like Jesus. But we can't forgive the other person, even though we've been forgiven. That's where we fall short again, in taking the name of the Lord in vain. Now, I studied this passage, and there's a whole lot more of ways we can take the name of the Lord in vain. I'm not gonna preach on all of them. There's too many. But these are the main ones. We take the name of the Lord in vain when we don't live up to that name. We do fall short of that, and yet He forgives us. And so we take the name of the Lord in vain when we don't forgive others. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You do forgive us, that You do care for us, that You do watch over us, that you remember that we are dust, and that You pity us as the Father pities His children. And Father, we take the name of Christ, and a big part of that name, when we call ourselves Christians, is He forgave us, so we need to forgive others. And Father, we pray You'd help us to do that. Help us to live up to that standard that Christ has set. And Father, we thank You that You've forgiven our sins because of what Christ did. Father, we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.